Deutschlandfunk Kultur Klangkunst.
Ein Gespenst geht um. Turm hoch, den Kopf in den Wolken, streift es durch die Nacht. Es stiehlt den Menschen ihre Erinnerungen und Stimmen. Zangarazimo, so heißt diese Figur aus der Mythologie der Shona im südlichen Afrika. Als die Shona einen Begriff für das Medium Radio suchten, da wurde dieser Name einfach umgedreht: Zimuzangara. So heißt auch der Titel der folgenden Sendung von Memory Biva und Robert Machiri alias Pungwe. Das Künstlerduo arbeitet darin mit Mythen, Geschichten und Musikaufnahmen aus Afrika. Herzlich willkommen zur Klangkunst im Deutschlandfunk Kultur. Memory Biva lebt als Historikerin in Windhoek in Namibia. In ihrer Arbeit verbindet sie Erinnerung, Performance, Sound Studies und Archivtheorie. Sie forscht über Narrative und Reenactments von Gewalt und Widerstand im Kolonialkrieg und im Genozid in Namibia und Südafrika. Robert Machiri, geboren 1978 in Simbabwe, lebt als interdisziplinärer Künstler in Johannesburg. Seine Arbeiten präsentieren dekoloniale Diskurse durch Sound, Musik und Bild. Zusammen bilden die beiden Pungwe, eine Plattform für kreatives Hören. In den Veranstaltungen von Pungwe geht es um die Verbindung von Klang und Erinnerung. Akustisches Archivmaterial wird verwoben mit Geschichten und Reflexionen. Dabei arbeiten die Künstler mit Methoden aus Sampling und DJ-Kultur, aber auch mit oralen Traditionen und Storytelling. Am 30. Juni 2019 war Listening at Pungwe zu Gast im Kunstraum Savvy Contemporary in Berlin. Im Anschluss haben sie das dort präsentierte Material mit ins Studio genommen und zu einem Hörstück verarbeitet. Verstärkt wurden sie dabei durch die Dichterin und Tänzerin Jumoke Adianju. Das Ergebnis ist mehrsprachig in vielerlei Hinsicht. Swahili, Englisch, Deutsch und weitere Sprachen wechseln einander ab und auch die Musik spricht ihre eigene Sprache. Hören Sie als Ursendung Zimuzangara, spektrale Figuren aus archivierten Stimmen von Pungwe.
Hare Kupti, Kupti Tempelingwa. Hare Kupti, Kupti Tempelingwa. Ngaba kung hom kaka, tsana era ngai. Ngaba kung hom kaka, tsana era ngai. Hare kupti, kupti tempelingwa. Hare kupti, kupti tempelingwa. Ngaba kung hom kaka, tsana era ngai. Ngaba kung hom kaka.
Yeah, wow. So yeah, so if you can just give us a little bit of your tale and your offerings.
Yeah, my offerings are multilingual in Swahili, English, and German. And they may be some translations, they may not be some translations, but basically it's about the transitioning of the message that I got through these waves as well. And I feel like these waves are gonna be transmitted in the right way, either way, even if there's no translation at all. So yeah, I have four different chapters, and also remembering, or yeah, as a remembrance of Bokero, the snake god, Hongo, the snake ghost medium, and Kinjikitile Ngwale. So this is, I'm dedicating this to the spiritual realms of our ancestors.
Die Faszinierung unserer Stimmen. Klangkunst unter Wasser. Ein Vermächtnis. Die Fabrizierung in Schwarz, dekoloniale Kontinuitäten, ein Struwwelpeter-Ende. Entwirren von Afrolocken, Entwurzelung des Ichs, Entdeckung kolonialer Erbe, Schwerpunkt Übernahme.
Okay, can you just introduce yourself, like, briefly?
Yes, of course. My name is Jumoke Adeonju, and I am a storyteller, a poet, translator, and a linguist, a polyglot, as well as a dancer, and I'm into sound art as a DJ, vinyl DJ, and sometimes I create events.
Okay, great. Yes. The sound that you're hearing in the background is Ti Kekehai, which is the beginning of tales. Usually in Kwekwekovap, or Kwekwekovap speakers use that as their beginning to enter into, you know, the story world.
Right.
And I found it very interesting. Gugiwa Thiong'o, in his Decolonizing the Mind, The Politics of Language, speaks about this oral tradition, you know, in Africa. And he speaks about how the oral tradition is only relevant if we can relate it to our present and to our future, right? And so the oral tradition somehow can guide us or make us understand the world that we're living in, but also understand our past and so on. And I was particularly interested in the story that you just told me earlier. If you could just, like, speak on that a little bit,
right.
Especially thinking about the kind of coincidences today, and we can unpack that a little bit later once you tell us the story that you, that you just.
So basically, I was very inspired by the sound, the specific sound that I was hearing while Robert Machiri was just playing around with the sounds and the, you know, your voice as well. And I started writing because I really like to write as a response to music, as a response to sound. And the first thing that came into my mind was the Maji Maji Rebellion in 1905 in Tanzania against the Germans. That time it was under German rule, and then the British took over later on. So basically, I had this crazy parallel vision of the Maji Maji rebellion being also seen as like the water. In German, you say Wasserbändiger. Mm-hmm. In Avatar, you had like different elements. You had the earth, fire, air, and the water. And water also just as a way of a powerful tool to fight against people who have actual, like, material, you know, weapons, and seeing that as a magical way to defend yourself and your dignity as well.
Mm-hmm.
And even today, the meaning of water and the meaning of possessions, you know, in all realms, in spiritual realms, in material realms, in capitalistic realms. So yeah, for me, when I started writing, I thought, okay, let me concentrate on Tanzania in the context of Germany as well. And I just remembered there was this story on how the Maji Maji war actually started, which traces back to this spiritual entity, that the entity of like the Bantu myth and the Bantu legends, or just like stories of different gods that exist in a Bantu history.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this snake god called Bokero. And the snake god cannot be seen by human eye. So basically, it's this snake god is to be believed based in the Pangani River. It's close to Tanga in Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also where the war was started, the Maji Maji War. And basically, Bokero, because this snake god can't be seen by human eye, needs a medium to communicate, or to possess a human body as a vessel to fight this war, right? And in my story that I'm going to that I'm going to elaborate as a poetical, I guess, like as a poem. It's about taking the position of Bokero, the snake god. So basically, Bokero called out on Hongo, which is the spirit medium, the snake ghost, to possess Kinjikiti Lengwale. And this is a person who actually existed. This was the leader of the Maji-Maji War in 1905. This war lasted like 2 years. And he was the one who said, who actually held like political speeches, who was motivating the people to like get off the cotton and fight Theodor von Hassel, the German colonizers at that time. And to go on and use the water as a weapon. And the water was like mixed with castor oil and millet seeds. And he said, this is the power of the gods. With this one, we can actually defeat them. Es ist der 10. Juli 2019, Mittwoch, früher Nachmittag, 21 Grad, untropisches Berlin. Deutsch-Ostafrika, vor 114 Jahren, Juli 1905. Ein Rückblick. Afro-revolutionäre Aufstände, Maji-Maji, Wasserbändiger, Wiederverwendung spiritueller Macht. Bokero, der Schlangengott im Pangani-Fluss, unsichtbar im Diesseits, ruft Hongo, den Schlangengeist, Vermittler zwischen Bokero und Mensch. Verweile im Körper von Kinjikiti Lengwale, führe den Maji-Maji-Krieg aus, verjage die Deutschen von unserem Land, denn die Wasserwellen sind erzürnt. So because of this, people actually believed that the Maji-Maji, the water, can defeat the Germans. And he was executed by the Germans because he was the one leading the people to fight. You know, if this actually really helped or not, it's not even the case of the story. The case of the story is that the war happened and the rebellion was continued. And the message of Bokero was actually passed through to the people. Mm. And even after Kinjikiti Lengwale's death, the Maji-Maji War, the Maji-Maji Rebellion had like a great impact on the people. It just like infected this will to rebel against the colonizers. And this is like very inspiring because thinking of the Bokero living in the water, you know, and the Hongo as a medium spirit, and also Kinjikiti Lengwale as the vessel, like the whole dimensions going through to actually pass on the message and make it reality. Mm. So like what Ngugi Wathiongo was saying, like the way story tales, you know, coming from that Bantu myth like to reality is, yeah, like the I guess like this thin line of fantasy and reality can just like just fade away, evaporate in that instant.
Begin poetischer Beitrag. Nimesahau rangi ya ukoloni na mfuko ya maafa sokoni. I forgot the color of colonialism and the bags of genocide at the market. Forgive me. Ich vergaß die Farbe des Kolonialismus und die Tasche des Genozids auf dem Markt. Forgive me. Walibadilisha jina lako, kutawala shina lako. Nisamehe. They changed your name to become the masters of your roots. Forgive me. Vergiss nicht die Farbe des Kolonialismus und die Taschen des Genozids am Markt und zu überleben, to survive. kuishi.
Yeah, it's interesting how you're talking about the different realms, because even other battles that took place during that time, say for example in Namibia, the resistance heroes also had spiritual leaders who came and protected them during the resistance war. Mm. So there almost is this, always when you speak about these historical narratives, this idea of myth and history kind of being intertwined. But it also like points to this idea about how history is continuous,
yeah,
that myth and history live alongside each other, and you almost have to, and that these realms continue. Like, imagine there's like a medium between the past and the present, and that this story still continues into the present,
right,
into the future. So it's like never ending, it's continuous.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like that aspect as well, thinking about,
right,
thinking about these transitions,
mm-hmm,
and how those myths also reflect on right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And speaking of right now, like, it's July.
Uh-huh.
And when I just Googled, just to check on that I'm actually getting the dates right, I was like, wait, this happened in July 1905. And then you told me that you read an article.
I read an article this morning talking about, it's actually an article that was sent by Flower Manasseh. She's a curator at the National Museum in Tanzania. And she also works on this period of German colonization. And she sent an article saying that Tanzania is now demanding reparations from Germany for the Maji-Maji War. So
see?
It's some very interesting coincidences, mm-hmm, that we've been having in the studio, listening to Robert's sound, water sounds.
Yes,
then connecting it with... Yeah, and then the water sounds were actually a recording from East Africa that he was playing
from
with.
From Burundi,
yeah, exactly, mm-hmm, that he was playing with. So, and then you came with
the
Maji-Maji. And so it all coalesced together,
you're
very
right,
well, right here in the studio. And
yeah,
this is
just, I guess, like the spiritual realms just coming into reality,
right,
in the present,
right,
you know, like, and also like just in the future, because even this recording right now, people are listening to it in September or so.
Yes, yes.
So basically, it's like
it'll live on, just like the myths. Yeah.
Right, it's really beautiful. Beginn, poetischer Beitrag. Nimesahau rangi ya ukoloni, na mfuko ya maafa sokoni, nisamehe. I forgot the color of colonialism and the bags of genocide at the market. Forgive me. Ich vergaß die Farbe des Kolonialismus und die Tasche des Genozids auf dem Markt. Forgive me. Walibadilisha jina lako, kutawala shina lako, nisamehe. They changed your name to become the masters of your roots. Forgive me. Vergiss nicht die Farbe des Kolonialismus und die Taschen des Genozids am Markt und zu überleben. To survive. Kuishi. Ich heiße Jumoke Adeonju. Ich bin nigerianisch-deutsche Poetin, Polyglotte, multilingual auch unterwegs, also schreibe auf Kiswahili, auf Englisch, Deutsch und Yoruba. Ich bin Kuratorin, ich bin Tänzerin und bin auch DJ.
Describe the ability of voice to mark place and place to give sound its gravitas yet not contained by it as its spectrality and agency. Voice comes from other worlds to tell us of those worlds, to fetch and carry between worlds as a multidirectional repossession.
we focus on how myths, songs, and reenactments sonically reinvent the everyday. The land becomes a sacralized soundscape of beings from the other world. Here, an alternative archive is continuously remade.
Oh, We reflect on listening practices by turning to South African jazz vocalist Satima Bia Benjamin. We tune into how her experiences influenced her voice. Benjamin said she carried a melancholic voice because it came from a long lineage of sadness, and thus no one had the ability to make her sad. This echoes with geographies of historical catastrophe, yet grounded in varied practices of freedom. The figure of Benjamin intersects with our own experiences of place in the region and creates polyvocal positions. Her intimate commitment to storytelling inspires us as she forms an integral part of our sonic homecoming. We position Benjamin with Princess Magogo, Stella Chiweshe, and Lena Fenter because of their generation's complex translation of indigenous instrumentation and their transnational navigation over generations from St. Helena Island between Southern Africa and Brazil and their exiles in Europe. We loop their voices to distinctively mark the role of women as storyteller, educator, pioneer of modern recording, and matriarchal divine force. We perform these intersecting playbacks to interrogate the limits of hegemonic archives. The recording's acoustic excess moves beyond regional, linguistic, musical, and bodily representations and point to other forms and spaces of sonic inscription and mobility. We search for incidental moments when two forms, which may seem dissonant, become flashes of synchronicity. The remix methodology points to versionings, implicit in listening practices of storytelling and other oral performances. This is an act capable of infinite polyphonic forms. We explore a relational sonority, a multi-directional future-present time between historical and contemporary recordings. We understand that this not only reframes the archive, but also transforms our sense of the world.
We'll be right back.
Zangaradzimu are beings as told through the Shona experience of the supernatural world. These shadow people come to haunt the living. They are malevolent spirits who live in the recesses of lush forests and are described as tall beings whose faces are invisible as their bodies stretch to the heavens. They appear and repossess the voice and memory of humans. This devouring renders the human immobile and intervenes in their ability to divine their future. Dzimu Dzangara, the inversion of Dzangara Dzimu, refers to a radio. Sound here is inscribed from the human who is dispossessed of voice and memory and in turn transferred to the idea of a machine with disembodied voices. These transmissions create a range of listening practices. The mobility and temporality of voice and its ability to possess various bodies and forms is what Pungwe expands on. We thereby begin to trace and locate transmissions where there is an excess of the acoustic in the archive of the everyday.
T-I-G-G-H-A-E is the opening of a tale retold by Lena Fenter, recorded in Okahanja, central Namibia, in 1954. The master narrator, Lena, moves effortlessly between the voice of the protagonist and other actors in the story. Her voice carries the suspense, the sly haughtiness of the dog monster, the commanding and unsympathetic master, and the dread and angst of a woman in danger. The story recounts a man and woman walking in the field. The couple find a dog and take it home. The woman notices the dog has human eyes, does not eat the meat they throw it, and talks while dreaming. She repeatedly complains to her partner, who merely ignores her and sleeps. At night, the dog transforms into a monster and eats the man. The woman, who had smeared soot and ash on her body before she slept to protect herself, wakes up to the dog eating her partner. She runs away at dawn and climbs a tree. The dog monster chases her and makes a fire at the base of the tree. Each time the monster lights the fire, the woman pees on and extinguishes it. This lighting and extinguishing continues until the woman spots three figures with dogs in the distance. She calls for them. They run towards her and tear the monster apart. The woman climbs down the tree and follows them home. The tale is heard as an account of how a woman protects herself from a life-threatening force. While showing itself to be benevolent, it is actually ready to devour him. She instinctively knows that if she ignores the danger, it will be fatal. She protects and guards her body. However, it is a little too late, as she has already let it enter her interior space. She must wander into her wild nature and draw up her strength, account for the losses, and cut off the destroying force. It is essential that she listens to and thereby awakens her guardians. These guardians intercede on her behalf, destroy the force, and lead her home. Numerous tales of spectral beings exist in the form of dog monsters, men with eyes on their feet, women with three eyes, ghost women with the face of an animal, maidens who turn men into trees, women and men who transform into non-human beings. The story as myth unfolds as an initiatory myth. It forms part of a greater origin nexus and reflects the philosophy, language, relations, value system and cosmology of its origins. It is an archival trace, a listening to a listening to an oral memorial genealogy in deep time.
Sie hörten als Ursendung Tsimu Tsangara, spektrale Figuren aus archivierten Stimmen, von Pungwe, alias Memory Beaver und Robert Machiri, mit Jumoke Adeyanju und Pungwe. Ton Michael Kube und Robert Machiri. Produktion Deutschlandfunk Kultur, Savvy Contemporary und Disc CTM 2019. Mit freundlicher Unterstützung des Berliner Künstlerprogramms des DAAD.